fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
This is Staff Sergeant Alvin Josephi, Jr., a United States Marine Corps combat correspondent speaking from Iwo Jima. An attack is underway, and so far this morning, in a couple of hours, they have gone approximately 500 yards through the most difficult kind of terrain. This island is studded with pillboxes, and they have already passed through several lanes of them and have passed over the volcanic ash, the terrible yellow, craggy, rocky, lifeless soil of this part of the island. Whoops, some bullets are whistling past us. We are in the open. Japanese mortars and also small arm fire are occasionally dropping around us.
Listeners to this program, a brilliant scientist, brilliant because he's on TV, Bill Nye, the science guy, has come up with a brilliant scientific explanation as to why man-caused global warming has caused a few places, to be colder than normal. I, Lair Adams of the American Adversaries Drive Time, I'm such a doofus for being on AM 660 The Answer and not figuring this out. The reason certain areas are experiencing record-breaking cold temperatures is what's on the side of your pants. Now, men's pants have two more on the butt. Jackets and shirts have them, and cargo pants have a lot. That's right. I'm talking about pockets. Global warming expert Bill Nye says pockets of man-caused capitalistic Tea Party-loving activities are sucking the heat out of the eastern U.S., and putting it in the pockets of other places on Earth. Now, even if it doesn't make sense, remember, a great scientist, a TV scientist, has explained it all to us morons. Personally, I don't think our host would agree, or our special guest either. He says he's a scientist, but I see his pants have pockets. Christopher Hart, take it away!
All right, Lair Adams, appreciate that opening. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us today. Of course, you are listening to the American Adversaries. It is a Berg chilly drive time, but we are with you live today on AM 660, The Answer. And yeah, we got pockets.
My shirt? I got a pocket in my shirt.
407-774-8255 is our number as we come to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hart, at 407-678-3399. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge, so we are in good hands tonight. We do have John L. Casey in the studio with us to help us make sense out of this cold global warming stuff.
I was warning you. He's going to be here. All right, he's got pockets.
And Mike McBath is with us as well tonight.
So he's got pockets, too.
So we got a big show lined up for you. First, let me say hello to the guys. Mike, how you doing?
All right, great to be here.
We got to get the mics up. Mike, how you doing?
All right, great to be here.
John L. Casey, it's only appropriate that on the coldest night of the whole doggone year, here you show up to tell us all about how the world is cooling. Thanks so very much. Thanks a lot, John.
Glad to be here, and given the record, probably I didn't even need to show up today.
I tell you what, the weather is making your case for you. I was going to say, you didn't have to do this. We believe you, okay?
Thank you, sir.
But, of course,
it's pockets. Come on now, guys.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that nonsense and the nonsense that came out of Mayor de Blasio's mouth as well with John during the show today. Before we get rolling with that, I want to remind you tonight at 7:30 at the Eastmont Civic Center, you'll have the opportunity to see some great speakers, including our very own Carl Jackson. He'll be speaking on Brad Bright's book, God is the Issue. That's at the Eastmont Civic Center. It's free, sponsored by the Seminole County Republican Executive Committee. So that is free tonight, Eastmont Civic Center, which is just off Ronald Reagan Boulevard, just south of 436. Real easy to find. Just look for the ball fields, and you'll be there on Ronald Reagan Boulevard. And once again, at 7:30, Carl Jackson will be there tonight. Before we get into the climate stuff, though, I want to get you gentlemen's notions about what's been transpiring in Washington the last 3 days. You know, this summit that was billed as a summit against violent extremism was billed as a three-day summit. So I'm doing some work this morning, and the TV's on, and lo and behold, at 10:30 this morning, the president comes out to announce the end of the three-day summit. I'm going, man.
After how many days?
I wish I could work those hours and still get paid, you know? But the president comes out, and of course, he's basically echoing, or perhaps Maria Barf-Harf was echoing him. But I want to get your guys' take on this. Mike McBath, now you are of course, you're an NFL football player. You're now president of the NFL Retired Players Union. But for 38 years in between, you were a top business financial advisor at UBS, which is an international bank, is it not?
It's actually the second largest bank in the world.
And
the Union Bank of Switzerland.
And so you know, would look at economic situations around the globe to decide about financial decisions. What do you think of the president's notion of we should embrace our enemies and their grievances,
well,
so to speak?
And give them jobs.
Honestly, every time I hear him speak now, I try to envision a picture of some greatness, and all I can think of is Alfred E. Newman. Remember that from the old days?
Mad Magazine,
the complete idiot.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of this young lady, Maria Barf. I mean, could you imagine her coming out and stating that we should embrace these people who are, you know, crucifying children, cutting heads off, slaughtering people in mass, and we should try to find them jobs and try to embrace their economic situation and realize that maybe deep down we should do something for them.
Well, that would have ended World War II faster. We would have given the Japanese jobs.
Wait, I was thinking about this. What companies in the United States might consider hiring them? Well, maybe Starbucks. We could have them, or maybe Ben and Jerry's. And now I wonder how the ad would run. Hey, this is what's required. If you've chopped a few heads off, and you know, and if you've murdered a few people, and you have a bright personality, stop by. We're looking for employees.
We have an opening for you.
Is this what they want? I mean, is this the most insane group of bozos that are coming? I mean, I thought it was absolutely like Mad Magazine. I thought it was a joke. I thought they were on TV. I'm turning the channel going, this can't be real. This has to be Saturday Night Live.
Well, you know, the president said the same thing yesterday afternoon and again this morning. John L., what do you think?
Well, I think it's part of the same world of illusion that we've been dealing with for 6 years now, and the entire community looks through these rose-colored glasses, and they think the world should operate the way they want it to, not the way reality is.
Yeah.
And so we get this distortion in every aspect of our government because they simply don't deal in this world. They deal somewhere
else.
John,
you wonder, though, is maybe this might be the influence of marijuana throughout the whole government up there. I mean, this reminds me of the late 60s. Everybody, you know, tin soldiers and Nixon coming. I mean, what are these people thinking about? Anybody with a logical brain thinks they're nuts.
Well both you true. Gentlemen, let's face it. Is this a situation where people really do hear these things, but their minds just filter it out?
Well,
I just won't worry about this.
Well, I know.
I will only worry about what I want to worry about.
Well, the American public is buying this gobbledygook less and less.
Oh, yeah.
CBS just came out with a poll saying that some almost 60% of Americans now want the United States. Get this, want the United States to put ground troops back into the Iraq theater of operation to straighten this mess out. Because they are smart enough to understand that's the only way it'll get done. John, you were in the Army. Can you see the president's strategy accomplishing anything in terms of defeating the enemy?
I would like to see the strategy first.
there you scientists go, always wanting to see evidence and facts. Right?
I know. I mean, don't let the facts ruin your...
by the way, Steve, we see you holding on the line. Stay with us. We'll get to you in the next segment of the show when we really tear into the global warming idiocy. But you say you used the word deny, I believe. Larry, you used a similar word, or I think you used the word deny in your opening.
Deny. Yes.
The irony of this whole situation is, whether it's global warming, or certainly the impression I got, the president this morning and yesterday gave us 20 or 30 minutes of denial. Denial of what the true, serious nature of the problem is. And he came up with a lot of excuses as to why he was denying it, but he was denying it. And we get the same thing in the global. They call us the deniers, but in fact, it is they who are the deniers of the truth, just like the president in this situation, isn't it, John?
Absolutely. It's been that way again since he took office. It appears that there's something fundamentally wrong with him.
Yeah. Mike, if you Mike's
fundamentally, I was thinking mentally wrong with this guy. I mean, this guy isn't in the same drumbeat that most of us who are alive are on. I mean, what can he be perceiving of this?
You are a stockbroker. Mm-hmm. What happens to people that trade stocks that deny the reality of the situation as it changes around?
It's called you're out of money, buddy.
You run out, I mean? You go broke.
The game's a tough game.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's no consequences to him as an individual. He can sit there and pontificate on all his ludicrous, insane thoughts, and the only people that are going to suffer the consequences are you, me, and every working person in this country. And that's where, as much as we joke around about the Joker, boy, this is a bad guy to be having running this country, I can tell you that.
Well, it would be nice, and I saw John McCain, and McCain makes a good argument on this particular issue, but it would be nice if the Republicans had some sort of unified front, that when the president comes out and makes these absurd statements, that they come out and they make a statement like, well, if you were going to have a summit on violent extremism, did you have anybody there from Jordan or Israel to present that side of the argument, Mr. President? How come you had the deck stacked with a bunch of Muslims, as you call them?
Photo op.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
all it was.
Yeah, it was a way of the president trying to convince us that he's doing something while he tries to convince the Muslims that we're not doing anything because we don't want to upset the Muslims. I mean, this is just absolutely absurd. All right, we're just getting going. If you'd like to be a part of the show like Steve, we'll get to him in the next segment. Call us at 407-774-8255.
That's right, and coming up, pockets. That's right. Pockets of heat are sucking the heat out of everywhere else. We'll be right back to explain it.
What did I just have in my pocket?
A pocket.
A peanut butter sandwich. That's right. Blinded me with science.
Pocket scientist. Pocket science.
John L. Casey is here tonight, folks, and we're going to be talking global warming. But first, I just want to make a remark. If you were listening to the opening of the show tonight, we played that was an actual broadcast from the island of Iwo Jima 70 years ago as the battle for Iwo Jima started. And we wanted to play that because today's the anniversary, and, of course, we want to remember our veterans. And don't forget, Honor Flight Central Florida is coming up, and they can use your help. But Lair and I had the privilege of doing a remote broadcast about a year ago, wasn't it, Lair?
I don't think it was quite that long ago.
That last summer. And this was to commemorate. It was a commemorative dinner for Herschel Woody Williams.
Woody.
The only surviving Medal of Honor winner from Iwo Jima. And he told us his tale. And by the way, I've seen it on History Channel. So if you ever see Woody Williams. On the History Channel, that's the guy. And he's 80-some-odd years old. And the guy, I wish I had his energy. But he said something that night when he gave a speech that he said that if we had fought World War II with the rules of engagement with which we're fighting today, we never would have won that war. And that's the ultimate seriousness of all this nonsense that we hear coming out of Marie Barf-Harf's mouth and the president's mouth and this other fool, I forget her name, but as Mike says, they look like they belong on Saturday Night Live, not as spokespeople for the State Department. We're in serious trouble.
No, I mean, wouldn't you think that the war should be left to the generals and not to the politicians? And, I mean, we always know politicians put their 2 cents in, which, you know, that's 2 cents we don't want. But this case with the Obama group and with these Saturday Night Live cast, I mean, this is really costly to this country. And, I mean, I'm very concerned, you know, about this nuclear situation with Iran.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, if you think they're not going to use those missiles and they're already developing the ICBMs and everything, you know, we have to be insane to let this bunch of jokers negotiate our lives and our children's lives, and everybody just sits there and smiles like, oh, well, I guess we'll figure out what to do later. Well, you know what? Yeah, you heard that song, Day of Reckoning. It's not that far off.
And this guy's killing Hillary's chances, especially when she comes out and talks about, like, she knows about global warming.
Well,
the cap's melting.
Let's kind of get into that.
Because that's what I mean.
We have John L. here. And John, of course, you know the president, John Kerry, have been going around saying that we have a bigger threat to us, and that is global warming, than this terrorist extremist Muslim threat. First of all, to me, it seems very ironic. I mean, this is the ironic president. First of all, he's our first black president. And part of what these characters are doing is enslaving people. And he doesn't seem to give a damn. That's ironic to me. All right, having said that, the other irony, which is more pertinent to you, John, is that they say that global change, climate change, is a bigger problem than ISIS and the Islamic threat. Now, ISIS and the Islamic threat is actually something they can do something about, and they won't. Climate change is something they can't do anything about, and yet they squander so many resources trying. Isn't that the upside down world we're living in right now?
And it's been upside down all along. Every area that we look at, whether it be economic, social, military, climate related, we're always upside down. This White House is always upside down. Talk about pockets. I would love to see some pockets of intelligence in the White House.
Certainly, now there you go again.
The wind has blown them away. There are none.
Yeah, they're searching their pockets.
I know, there are none. I'm sorry.
For joints and reefer. All right, let's go to Steve. I want to get Steve in before we go to the next break. Steve, thank you for holding. I appreciate your patience. You're practicing strategic patience out there.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I listen to you guys going home every day, and
well, God bless you. Thank you.
I enjoy your show greatly, and God, you all hit all the buttons today. That the first gentleman said Day of Reckoning. Not to digress, but he's absolutely right.
That's Mike
we
Bath.
Don't,
yeah.
If we don't wake up and say, smell the coffee, it's going to be too late very quickly.
Amen.
And this global warming stuff, I read Dr. Casey's books and agree wholeheartedly with what he says. I'm just an old country boy. My grandfather was involved in the logging industry, blah, 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 and I was very much a student of history. And look at tree rings. Tree rings are one of the prime indicators of weather, historically. I mean, the growth rings speak for themselves, and there's areas of the country that there would be diversity. You'll have areas of good growth where they had good weather and areas where they had very cold weather. And history is replete with warmings and chillings. There was a cold spell in the 1700s about the time of the Revolution that it was winter in France in like June and July. It actually snowed in June. I mean, the vineyards were threatened. I mean, and historically, Northern Africa was the wheat belt for Rome. I mean, the weather was that good that you could grow wheat in Northern Africa. And what is, you know, you couldn't, yep. I don't think you could grow anything this yep. day and time. But
the U.S. in 1815.
Yeah, in Egypt, I mean, the pyramids weren't built in the desert. They were built in lush, you know, vegetative growth, and they ended up being in the desert because of climate change. Had nothing to do with human activity.
Long before we ever, the gasoline engine was ever invented. I mean, it's so farcical. It's like, I mean, I guess you tell a lie long enough, you get people to believe anything. But the bottom line, people are making money from this lie.
Yeah, well, that's it.
And back to money. I'll tell you something that happened in the first part of the administration. Somebody needs to take a long look at and follow the money trail. Is that debacle with energy where they gave millions, if not billions, of dollars to these companies?
Yeah, like Solyndra,
$500 million that went down the drain.
Yeah, and what was that battery company?
And
too?
They were all related to the Obama administration.
Absolutely.
It's an absolute disgrace.
That money trail still exists.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's they need to hammer on that. They'll find some hands in the cookie jar on that one.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Steve,
I got to let you go because we're up against the break, but you made a lot of great points that I want John to respond to when we come back from the break, because you're absolutely right on a number of all his points.
Steve suffers from common sense. That's Steve's problem.
Don't worry. Yeah,
Steve, you're right on the money.
Well, cure that at the White House.
Remember, when you hear global warming, all it is fundraiser.
Yeah, so Steve hit it nail right on the head, and John talks about this. And by the way, John's book, Dark Winter, is still available, but is the deal up with Newsmax?
No, they've extended it.
Okay, so you can go to newsmax.com/darkwinter, scroll down, find where you can make a small donation, and you'll get a free hardback copy of John L. Casey's book. I just got this from Nostradamus. He says, we got hot pockets, save me one. Now, I don't think that's what we were talking about. That
the world's a microwave.
We'll be right back.
AM 660, The Answer.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads, American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com with just a little sample of the medicine you'll find brand new there today. Like this, President Obama promoting gun violence? That's right, in a BuzzFeed video. And it's got his gun control activist in a hissy fit. And you'll find that story brand new today. Also this, the United States has cut Israel out of the Iran talks. Well, that's no surprise if you've been listening to this show, but the great story about it today at SoundbiteRx.com. Also this, a fellow by the name of Quinn Hillier on why the president is so anti-West. Now, didn't he hear the speech today? This is not a West versus... Oh, well, never mind. You'll find that story brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. Also, Obama responds to Israeli attacks against Israel by doing what? Going and playing golf. That's right, folks. And speaking of that, Bob Schieffer, that's right, of Fake the Nation, a CBS News journalist, longtime fella, he says that Jordan is forceful in their response to ISIS while Obama goes on California fundraisers. Kind of like Mike McBath has it right. Jordan gets the warrior king. We get the dancing queen. Don't forget, go to soundbiterx.com. We'll be right back.
Yes.
All right, we're back live from the Hive. 407-774-8255 is the number. AM 660, The Answer is the station. The American Adversaries Drive Time is the show. Lair Adams, Christopher Hart, Mike McBath, John L. Casey, all in the studio with you today. Nostradamus will be joining us shortly. And you can join the American Adversaries Army and be a part of what we're doing here. And if you do it this month, if you're one of the next 25, you will get a free copy of the Space and Science Research Corps' latest latest space climate status report. And by the way, you can find that at spaceandscience.net. That's the climate status report, spaceandscience.net. It's got a lot of great information in there. It's got some great articles in there, and it will really arm you with some great information and great weather, great information as we look at the weather, I should say. That's dark.
The pockets of weather.
Yeah, we're going to get to that here in just a minute, but you know, it's going to get real cold tonight. And Mike, you were just saying you were at the Westminster Dog Show?
In the past, I've been there a number of times.
Have you ever entered Baxter?
Well, you know, Baxter, he's a hybrid. Whatever that would be. But I will say, I'm a big thrill. I saw Miss P one, who was a Beagle.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
When I was a youth, my parents, we actually had Beagles that ran rabbits and, you know, in trials and stuff like that.
They're good dogs.
And
they really are.
They were just fabulous dogs. Yeah. And I was real thrilled to see that she won, Miss P.
One of my two of my playmates as a child, they had a Beagle too named Mimi. It was a great dog. But, of course, Baxter is Mike's family's potbelly pig, and I guess you'll be bringing him in tonight, right?
We're saving him for Thanksgiving. And he's not going to last long. Baxter's no longer slim and trim, I can tell you that.
Well, eating size.
Perhaps you can find a pocket of warm air for him. In the meantime, I want to go back to Steve's call, and it was a great call. And he mentioned tree rings. And I know you've got information on this. I've read some of it, but I don't think we've ever actually addressed that on the air, John. What can we tell from tree rings, and how valid is that?
The tree ring data is one of the best known and most used scientific tools for understanding climate variation by both the dimensions and the content of tree rings. We can determine by measuring various isotopes what the weather was in periods of ancient past. A lot of the trees we use are thousands of years old. The bristlecone pine, for example,
sure,
one of the longest growing trees. But there are other trees that are used. And in fact, the great hockey stick chart was built from tree ring data. Unfortunately, they selected only the data they liked in the tree rings, and the rest of the tree ring data they didn't use because it didn't fit the political correctness of the day.
And isn't that one of the fundamental problems and flaws with their theory, is that they have cherry-picked the data, so to speak?
Absolutely. The stories that have come out in the last 10 years especially of the manipulation of data, the fraudulent data, the hiding of data, and the covering up of better data and better theories of climate change is now legend and will go down in history, hopefully, with this whole matter someday. Unfortunately, I think it will go down painfully as people see painfully the new cold era as it arrives.
The results.
Yeah, you know, and there's actually a grain of truth in what the president and John Kerry have said, that climate change is going to be a severe problem. Maybe not bigger than the terrorist threat. It's certainly not right now. But the problem is, we're not causing it, and there's not a damn thing we can do about it except prepare for it. Is that right, John?
That's correct. But the term they use, climate change, has a couple of components. Number one, when you recognize that climate change as a term came out shortly after my news conference in 08, where I announced the end of global warming, the use of the term now includes just about anything the government wants it to. Cold, warm, extreme weather, any kind of weather or climate event,
sure,
they want to use that term to encompass everything. And if they can do that, they can blame mankind for doing
so. The other
so.
Thing on the news the other day, they were talking about, and this is, I call it global fraud. And I mean, the reason I keep harping on this, because they were talking about our global energy subsidies, okay? Solar energy subsidies, $39 billion a year. That adds up to like $200 billion in the next 5 years.
Sure.
Now, I wonder if we could spend that money in more efficient ways to help the American people. And, you know, do we really believe
this fraud? Build greenhouses, maybe?
I mean, look at the $500 billion lost in Solyndra and all the other tens and 20 billions that were circulated through the Democratic contributors.
Sure.
I mean, how can the American public put up and believe this act? This is absolutely atrocious.
It is. But when you think about it, guys, this is the perfect political scheme.
Oh, it is. It's great. It's a great fundraiser, as I said. Well, best there is, man.
But not only that, because you can reuse it. I mean, you take a naturally occurring phenomena, climate change, and where would we be without climate change? We'd be living on a barren desert planet, right? But you take a naturally occurring phenomena, you make it somehow bad or evil or something that people shouldn't
add hysteria to it.
Exactly. And then you blame it on your political opponents. It's perfect.
Of course. The straw man.
Exactly. Unfortunately, as Mike is saying, and as you've alluded to, John, not only is a lot of money being wasted, but ultimately lives will be as well.
And no question about it, because the government and President Obama especially have taken us down a path that leaves us totally unprepared for what is really coming. The world is expecting the planet to overheat by 2100. As Al Gore and the president have said.
Right.
But in fact, the reality is within the next few years, we'll start to see some of the worst effects of the new cold era. People will be panicked. They'll go into shock. They won't know what to do. All of a sudden, they'll start to see food disappear from the food shelves and wonder how global warming caused this.
Well, I've actually seen on Fox recently, they said next year's crops, there's a warning, maybe 20% less. Across the board.
The longer we have cold winter here in the planting season, the harder it is to plant, right?
Absolutely. And in 2013, we came very close to a disastrous spring planting. Mm. It was longer, colder, wetter, and we almost really hit the skids in 2013. This could come again as early as the spring, no question. But let me reassure everyone, the science is very clear. We're heading into a dangerous cold era. Our crops are going to start to take a beating. And in the 2030s, I would not at all be surprised to see the President of the United States and the Premier of Canada stop all food exports from the grain belt, the great breadbasket of the world, because we won't have enough food for our own people.
And by the way, folks, you can find the facts and figures in the Global Climate Status Report that you can either get at spaceandscience.net, or if you sign up with the American Adversaries Army this month, you will get it as part of your membership package. And those of you who have already signed up, John will be sending those out in the very near future. So that's at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and just follow the prompts to the recruiting office. And we got a lot of other great things that we're lining up, too. We're going to put together some special dinner packages where you'll be able to have dinner with us and John and Mike and Danny and Danny McKnight. So it will be worth your while to become a part of the American Adversaries Army and help us continue this fight. And, of course, John needs your help, too. So if you can go to Space and Science Research Corp, and their website is spaceandscience.net, you can make donations to John. You can buy his climate status report. There are status reports there. And, of course, you can get a copy of his book. But the best deal right now is to go to newsmax.com/darkwinter, make a donation there as little as $5, and you will get a copy of John's book, as well as a lot of other great stuff as well. John.
If I may thank the listeners who've already bought Dark Winter. I'm just so honored and humbled at what has happened. As of this week, on the Amazon.com top 100 climate bestsellers, Dark Winter is now number 3. Thank you very much.
Wow.
All right.
That's awesome. Good. Really quickly, how far out do you go for your seminars that you give? Your talks.
I'll be in Colorado next week.
Oh my gosh! Because I have friends in Tampa that want to know when you're going to possibly be over there.
And
Tampa, St. Peter.
Get on the website spaceandscience.net. Send me an email or a phone call, and we'll try to set up something.
And great. John is all over the radio dial. We wish we could have him on the show a lot more, but because he's on all
soon
kinds
to be
of
TV, I'm sure
we got to share him. We got to spread him around.
It's all because of us, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Right. Mike makes a great point. You know, we're wasting money that we could be putting to a much better use.
I mean, you imagine I just think of the regulations, you know, on all our coal, and think of all the people up there freezing to death in New England and everything, and they're trying to do away with all these functions of coal, all the different factors. And I sit there and I go like this, you know, come on. All this is, again, is a way to make money. money and to take money away from certain sectors that you feel aren't contributing to what you would like to see in society. It just turns your stomach. And when you see a guy like Al Gore, who I think is a great spokesman for global warming because he's such a fraud, I don't think you could find a better guy. He's absolutely perfect. And I think what they ought to do is have him, have Hillary, and have Brock get some pictures together and go out and advocate this. And I'll tell you, no one's going to believe in global warming if we can get them out there more and more.
They could do some more selfies like the president.
Look in the bathroom window.
When they announced Kaylor Mueller was killed by her captives, he was off taking selfies of himself. John, you wanted to say something.
There's a hidden story to all the money that gets thrown down the rat hole of global warming research and alternative and renewable energy. It comes up often in many of the presentations I give. Let's look at the gravitational vacuum, the suction of all the research money that's gone into this. It's come from somewhere else. It's come from medical science. It's come from psychiatric science. Name the science field, and it has been drained to fill the coffers of the global warming community.
So we could be doing a lot more in these other fields
of
science.
Could we not have cured breast cancer, cervical cancer, childhood leukemia, if we had redevoted those funds to those valid causes?
That's why you don't get government taking bigger taxes. Is how do you want your assets allocated? You know, I mean, should we put it toward this fraud, or we should put it toward the betterment of mankind in areas where we know cancer and all these areas that we can probably get a cure? But we're waiting for the tree to fall down.
Our own environment, like John has said before, if you just put that money in preparation, we could be building giant, massive greenhouses. We could be preparing for this, like even in the Bible, David was prepared.
It's not such a far-fetched idea. You don't say the Bible.
I didn't say that.
You sound like a Christian.
No, it's this guy named David. He lived down the street from me.
Okay. I got him mixed up. I'm sorry.
We can't be having that. Nostradamus is on the line. I want to bring Nostradamus in on this. Nostradamus.
Yeah, I've got a few questions for John, but first things first, let's be prioritized here. You got Hot Pockets in the studio? I want one. Save me one.
That's not the Pockets.
I love those.
Yeah, that's not the Pockets
that's
we were
Bill
talking.
Bill Nye's special pocket recipe.
And we'll get John to address that.
But pocket Rocket.
But you said you had something for a question for John first.
Yeah, first question, John. Has any science been as cherry-picked in the history of science as global warming / climate change has been by these folks in this day? Have there been other sciences that have similarly been misinterpreted?
Well, one has to go back quite a ways to find anything close. I have yet to do so. The Piltdown Man controversy was very heavily cherry-picked, where they took bones from various animals, put them together, and claimed it was an ancient human found in Great Britain at the turn of the century.
That sounds like something out of Barnum and P.T. Barnum.
The merman!
And that fraud lasted for 50 years.
It did. 50 years
people thought that the earliest human came out of Great Britain, until they finally allowed some casual researcher to drill into one of the bones, found out it was still fresh.
That doesn't work out well.
The answer is no. Yeah. Nothing's come close, even that one. This fraud began when it first started back in the mid-'80s, cherry-picked from the very beginning.
All right, Dennis, hold on. We'll take it after the break. We'll go ahead and take the break. We'll come back more with John L. Casey, Mike McBath, and the American Adversaries. We'll be right back.
He can dance, he can swing, he's the dancing king.
The dancing queen, that's right.
You can lie. Oh, I'm sorry.
He's styling and profiling while the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Nostradamus, you said you had another question for John, and then I want him to respond to the science guy's absurd observations. But go ahead.
Yeah, but that image of a frilly pink tutu on Obama is just really distracting.
Nostra, my concern was Obama. I wonder how many Valentines he sent to himself during Valentine Day.
Okay. I think I got it together, okay?
All right.
John, I'm going to take this climate change argument to its absurd extreme. Let's just say that the temperature going up and down is a bad thing for this planet. If it were 72 degrees and sunny from the Arctic Circle to the Antarctic Circle year-round, what would happen?
Well, any kind of stable temperature would throw everything into a catastrophic situation. Stability is the wrong mode for our planet to live in. We operate on natural cycles, and those cycles give us the good life that we have.
Right.
If we wanted a perfect world, like our government wants to have everything perfect, and perfectly control the climate through geoengineering by making it 72 degrees all the time, it would result in natural catastrophic situations. I wouldn't even want to be here.
Plants operate on the cycles of the planet. We would not be able to grow vegetation. We'd all be dead. The bottom line is we need a changing climate for the world to thrive.
Flexibility is good.
Well, it provides all the elements. It provides all the elements. If we just have springtime all the time, you can never have the growing season, per se. The plants need a growing season. This is the way the world was designed by our Creator. It's perfect in that sense. I want to diverge here just for a second because, you know, we're talking sort of about two issues here today. We're talking about sort of the climate change fraud, but we're also talking about the president and the quote-unquote denial of the problem. Let's just kind of put these two together, all right, for a second. Let's kind of go there. Nostradamus wants to take these to their logical conclusion. The logical conclusion, I think, is, in President Obama's mind, is war is a good thing. If human beings are the cause of ruining the planet, less of them is going to be a good thing, is it not? And so if they happen to get killed off in a war, well, that might not be such a bad thing. Can you see that sort of logic playing out in his mind, John L. Casey?
Absolutely, and he gets it directly from not only his extreme socialist friends, but he gets it from his science advisor, Dr. John Holdren, who is an advocate for racial purity. Don't ask me how a guy like that ever got on the president's staff. But wow. This guy goes back a long time with Paul Ehrlich and a lot of the other cronies who advocate only 500 million people on the planet.
I think the other thing, Judd, which is pretty scary, if you think about reducing numbers of people, China, 1.3 billion, America, 300
million.
We have a little war. We lose 300. They still have a billion. I mean, you know, you're full of fire when you start getting into this stuff.
Well, but it is.
And that's the problem with weakness military-wise, because some idiot might start to believe it's just like, you know, if you're not the person being killed, you're just sitting back in your underground bunker, and I'm not going to be affected by it, so let's play like it's chess, except it's real. And when you got a fool like this in the White House, we all could be in big trouble in the next few years if all these people start to really get frustrated.
It reminds me of the end of the movie Dr. Strangelove, when they realize the doomsday device has been detonated, but what do? They come up with a nice plan of how they can go and stay in the mines, and they're going to have all these women, and of course they're going to have to breed prodigiously, I think they say it in movie, mm-hmm. So the women are going to have to be of a very appealing nature. The power elite will always be the ones who will be the ones who are chosen to survive.
Of course. Well,
but this is a huge problem because the one does naturally come from the other. If you believe that human beings are the problem with the planet, then obviously you will condone various ways for there to be less human beings. Nostradamus?
I really don't know where to go to there, except that my God tells me, go forth and multiply. And fewer and fewer Christians are doing that, and more Muslims are.
Well, but you can see the danger that ignorance holds. When ignorance rules the day, bad things happen. Well, and that's what we see going on with this administration, with the global warming crowd, and in the world today.
Well, it's worse than ignorance. It's subterfuge.
Well, the ignorance can lead to that easily.
I think one thing, too, is it was nice to see our president has curtailed his, let's say, emotion. Because the other day when I said there was 21 Coptic Christians that, you know, sadly enough, had their heads chopped off, he didn't play golf that day. He actually played miniature golf.
Well, wait a minute. Now, Mike, remember, they're only Christians.
I know.
Like Muslims,
I know.
They're different.
What he's doing, questions. I think, he's going to have different levels of golf for based upon different world situations.
Yeah. Real putt-putt, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, but he didn't mention they were Christians. He avoided the word.
Of course, oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Who wants to know that?
Right.
You might feel bad.
Right. So before we get, we have to go, once again, spaceandscience.net is where you can find out all about what John Casey's up to in the Space and Science Research Corp. It's also the place where you can get a copy of his book and a copy of the Global Climate Status Report. Or you can join the American Adversaries Army by going to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com and go to the recruiting office. And if you recruit this month, you will get a copy of that Climate Status Report as part of your recruitment benefit, as well as our American Adversaries Intel Brief. And also, we're going to be putting together some other events that you will be able to be a part of, too, if and only if you are a member of the American Adversaries Army. And we got some great other plans lined up as well. Mike's got some great ideas. So please join us and help us and help John, too, because he doesn't get the hundreds of millions. He doesn't get the subsidies from anybody. He's operating out of his pocket and what he can glean from book sales and report sales and donations. So please help the man out. Help the group out, because this is a consortium of global scientists. I mean,
that's right.
International scientists.
Yeah, you're not just helping him. You're helping yourselves.
Well, absolutely, John.
Absolutely. The other scientists that join with me every 6 months to print this report, we all do it on our own dime. We contribute our time and our research. We are, in fact, the opposites of Al Gore. We get absolutely zero money from the largesse of the taxpayers or the federal government, and yet we're the only ones doing research in the climate that exists, the new global cooling.
You would do a lot better, John, if you had a lisp, like Al Gore has. Now, that's his secret. So.
Well, ultimately, though, Mike, as rough of a road as it is, he's beholden to no one, is he?
No, and I think that's a terrific part about John and all the group associated with him, because, again, he's doing it because he believes so much in what he's saying. And we have so many phonies out there. Look at our politicians. Look at Washington. I mean, you got to find people that really care about this country and who care about the people and care about the environment, and it's great. I mean, this is a true warrior, sort of like our guy in Jordan, not the dancing queen.
Nostradamus, we're out of time, but just give us a highlight of that story, and maybe you can put it up on Facebook for folks.
Yeah, on our Facebook page, American Adversaries, you will find a link to spaceandscience.net for John, as well as a story on mysterious plumes in Mars. We're hoping John can help us discover what they are, but it's going to have to wait till next time.
All right, thank you, Nostradamus. Mysterious plumes on Mars, John L. Casey?
They're pockets.
Pockets, I was going to say.
All right, it's been a great show. Hope you folks enjoyed it, and we'll look forward to having you back with us tomorrow. And, of course, we look forward. John, Mike, thanks for being
here.
Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The Answer.